is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey there, Chuck Holton here. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone. Today is part two of our interview with Matt Bracken. We had him on the show about a year ago before the election, and he pretty much called where we are right now today. I mean, if you go back and watch that interview, his predictions for the future, he didn't predict that Trump would lose the election, but he did predict the kind of angst and heartache and anger that we see in American politics today. And I first found out about Matt Bracken back in the early 2000s. He wrote a series of books called Enemies Foreign and Domestic, and I highly recommend that. Back then, it seemed like pretty crazy stuff, but actually, if you read them today, it would sound like he was reading straight from the newspaper. He very, very closely predicted the kind of division and anger and just heartache we're seeing today in the U.S. politics and between the two Americas, the America that believes there is no such thing as truth and the America that believes that there is such a thing as truth. So I wanted to bring him back on today because the last time he was on, it was very popular. A lot of people liked what he had to say. And so this is part two of our interview with Matt. If you haven't seen part one, go back and watch that. And we're going to pick up where we left off. Here we go.
So you combine Weimar Germany, which led to Hitler, you know, the street fighting between communists and the Antifa and the Nazis. You multiply that times Yugoslavia, a country coming apart at the seams, and then with a racial element, which would be that Rwanda, just such hatred that you're ready to hit people with machetes. Mm-hmm. That's what triggering America into this kind of a conflict will result in. It will not result in a smooth transition to a, you know, Leninist Bolshevik kind of a system, which is the goal of the left. They don't want to have to deal with politics anymore. They don't want to have to deal with arguing with conservatives. They mm-hmm. want us to just shut up, pay our taxes. They think we'll just keep working, only we won't be on social media. You won't be allowed to talk about vote fraud. You know, they're happy with turning this country into something, say, between Cuba and Venezuela. They don't look at Cuba and say, that's horrible, there's no freedom. They look at Cuba and they say, but everybody's got health care. You know, even if there's no x-ray machine in your village, and there's no medicine except maybe aspirins, they look at Cuba and say, nothing wrong with Cuba. If we could turn America into Cuba, so the conservatives are bitching and moaning, who cares? They can't do anything about it. We get to run the country according to social justice, you know, people's democracy. That's where they think they're taking us. But they're going to be taking us into something that's worse than Yugoslavia and Rwanda. It's going to be a bloodbath.
To see just how afraid they are after the protests on the 6th of January in Washington, D.C., where, again, they're doing the same thing. You take there's a handful of people who broke the law and 100,000 people who didn't, and they're lumping everybody together. And here in West Virginia, some teachers, there was a group of teachers that went out there and they protested in the back of the crowd, and then they went home before any of the violence started. But just simply because they were there, they all lost their jobs. And it's interesting to me to see how afraid the Democrats are that they're keeping thousands of troops in Washington, D.C. They're building a wall around the Capitol building. They're absolutely freaked out because I think they know that had that group actually wanted to usurp the government, there's no stopping 100,000 people.
Yeah, I was there. I got there early with another former SEAL, and we could see how crowded it was. The Ellipse area was just packed, and everybody was at a lower elevation. I walked down there a few times, but it was so densely populated that you really couldn't see anything because you're like on a horizontal field with just nothing but heads around you. So we stayed up just below the Washington Monument, which is on a little hill, maybe 150-foot high hill compared to where the Ellipse was. That allowed us to see over the crowd and watch the whole crowd up towards the White House where the stage was. And it also allowed us to look all the way down the mall, a mile towards the Capitol, and we had binoculars. So we could see the whole thing because we had elevation. And there was way more than 100,000. I would say 400,000 or 500,000 if I had to, you know, to make a guess. I've been in crowds of 100,000. That was multiples of it. If that crowd had wanted to go to the Capitol, they could have taken it apart brick by brick. You know, they could have literally dismantled it from the top down, like an army, or like army ants. You know, like those grass cutter ants. They could have just climbed over it and taken every brick apart. So that's why they're afraid. They know that we can mobilize that kind of a mass movement. And they're very afraid also, I think, because although they protest, they don't protest too much about fraud, they know they stole it. That's the whole point of the Time Magazine article today. And the Time Magazine article is willing to talk about how the Chamber of Commerce should be conservatives and the AFL-CIO should be for unions, should be for the working man, made a secret deal along with Zuckerberg and Dorsey and everybody, all of these big, you know, the top players, to keep Trump from winning. But they didn't even mention in there what the help of the FBI, the whole Russiagate thing, you know, constantly pulling Trump. So all of the intelligence services, plus all of these, you know, the social media, corporate America, they were all working to make sure Trump didn't get reelected. And they know that it wasn't legitimate. They know Trump probably won 80 million to 60 million. They know it. And that's also when you have guilty knowledge like that, you know, the guilty man is the one that's putting up the big fence because he's in his subconscious mind. He's thinking those angry Trump voters out there, they have righteousness on their side. They may come back. They may get more evidence and come back. You know, it's interesting. Mike Lindell, I have a lot of respect for him because of the slings and arrows he's been taking for the last month. And I have a lot of respect as of today for One American News Network, unlike Newsmax and Fox, which you can't say fraud. You know, they've punked out on the whole fraud election issue. One American News Network is playing Mike Lindell's 2-hour documentary all day long. It's like as in your face as you can get, like, yeah, that's me, Mike Lindell, come after me. And he's laying out the cyber theft aspect of this. You know, I'm not an expert, but I mean, people aren't just going to shut up and say, okay, Biden's won. People aren't going to shut up. And that's why the fence is up in Washington. They know they're not legitimate. And they know that if Trump could do that on the 6th, if conclusive evidence came out about a vote theft, people could say, we're going to go and take that place back. That's why the fence is up.
Well, it's interesting to me to see how the purge has begun in the U.S. military and how you basically cannot get promoted beyond captain unless you toe the line. And that was very much true in the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. I saw it with my own eyes and I've seen it. Those people are still there. They didn't leave when Trump came to office. So they've been biding their time for 4 years and now it's back to the political correctness. It's back to the grand social experiment for the US military. And the, so let's talk about the border. I just
Something on the military, and this goes back for decades, but it's becoming formalized now. It's really codified. The Equal Opportunity Officer, which is typically an NCO or a junior officer, depending on whether it's, you know, company level, that has become essentially what the Soviet Union called the Zampolit. Mm-hmm. So theoretically, that lieutenant at the battalion level, the equal opportunity officer, almost always a minority or homosexual or some other, you know, aspect of identity politics that gives him a grievance. He is somebody who, in effect, outranks the battalion commander. Because if somebody comes to him and says the battalion commander, you know, touched a female inappropriately, true or not, that battalion commander, and the point of going back to the transsexuals in the military, now you can take that conservative battalion commander and force a transsexual adjutant on him. You know, put it right in his face. And And at any point, if that transsexual adjutant feels like she was slighted by the battalion commander, he's gone. So this happened in the Soviet Union in a political context when they purged their best officers in the 30s, because extremely competent officers are the ones that might be capable of pulling off a coup. So very popular officers, you know, very highly rated officers were the ones that were purged, either shot or sent to gulags. And the division officers at that point in the 1930s were incompetent toadies because they were safe. Stalin felt safe from them. They couldn't pull a coup. They were yes men. Well, what happens when you actually have a military threat? Hitler invades June 1941. Your military is doesn't have good generals. Well, we're doing that to our own military now. We're driving out our Christian conservative heritage Americans and leaving it in the control of incompetent politically correct people. Right. When we have a war, it's going to be a disaster. I mean, it's going to lead to ruin. That's why two of our destroyers got rammed by tankers. That's exactly why they got rammed by tankers. You have incompetent people on the bridge of a destroyer because the captain is much more afraid of the equal opportunity officer than of a accident or a war.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Well, I just came from the U.S. southern border, and I was told by Border Patrol agents down there that they are seeing a huge spike in numbers of people coming across. A lot of the people, when I went into Mexico and talked to migrants, said, we tried to get across on the 20th of January, as soon as Biden took office, and they told us we had to wait, you know, threw us back in here. When I talked to the Border Patrol guys, they were saying, look, I don't care what Biden says, we are going to do our best to keep pushing these people out. And instead of deporting them, which takes it's a process. They come in, they make an asylum claim, they wait for their court date, they get it denied, and then they're sent back out. Hey folks, thanks for watching The Hot Zone. I'm Chuck Holton. You can find me on Patreon at patreon.com/hotzone. I highly recommend you go get Telegram, the app, and you subscribe to the Hot Zone channel on Telegram. Because I'm able to share a lot of really cool stuff there, articles that I've written, pictures that I've taken on my travels, and interesting articles that go along with the stuff that we talk about on the Hot Zone. So go get that. It's growing by leaps and bounds. Be a part of it. All right. Thanks for watching. We'll see you.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.